Into another episode of Spiritual Philosophy Chatter with the Joneses. I'm Danny Jones.
And I am Samantha Jones.
And here we are, episode 111.
111.
111. That's three ones.
Three ones.
In case you weren't counting. What's our topic?
This is communicating with the universe through music.
Wonderful.
Yeah, I love this topic.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, before we hop into it, because this is right up my alley.
Yep.
Do you have anything you want to share from last week?
I do. Last week we did readings, and more readings. And so I want to read you a couple of the feedback that we got.
Oh, great.
This is from Jayla. We talked to Jayla's grandma, Sally, and her grandma had told her to stop worrying about death, stop worrying about her son dying, stop worrying about all of that because she's going to live a long life. So this was Jayla's response. Thank you. Thank you. I have been constantly worrying about death lately and that something bad is going to happen to my mom, my son, or my fiance. I've been stuck in this loop of just things are going to happen. So that helped me a lot. And my grandpa is still on hospice and passing soon. So it's like death has been around me so much. I just feel like it's going to happen to everyone. I don't know. It's confusing. I think I just can't take any more death right now. And I am terrified. So thank you.
Yeah.
Death is a scary topic for a lot of people, mm-hmm. you know, maybe everybody to a certain degree, because it's one of those things that's unknown. But the more that we can learn not to fear it, the better our lives will be, mm-hmm. you know, and the happier we'll be, because it's not what we are taught.
No,
it's simply a transition. Mm-hmm. It's like everybody that's ever died could be right here in this room with us right now. Right. Do you know what I mean? Like it's a transition.
Like her, what was her name again?
Jayla.
Sorry. I was kind of crippled by that in my psyche for a long time.
Mm.
And the whole thought of it, and not only leaving things behind, but, you know, people being left behind after your absence and you having to leave them.
Yeah.
And the big unknown.
Yeah, absolutely.
The big question of what is next.
Yeah.
I guess, honestly, the truth is none of us really do know.
Yeah.
But I just know I have a greater peace about it.
Yes, absolutely.
Now.
I'm not going to lie. There's still things about death that I fear, but not about my own. Like, I'm not afraid of dying for where I'm going. But like Jayla, I have some PTSD from loss, mm-hmm. you know, and it's something that it's traumatizing and it can be hard to get over. But the more that we can remind ourselves that our lives play out exactly the way they're supposed to, and we have absolutely no control over that, and that death isn't really that scary of a thing, then I think we can, you know, learn to live happier lives.
I agree.
So that's Jayla. So
thanks,
thank
Jayla.
You, Jayla. And then Charlie, we talked to Charlie's grandma. And Charlie's grandma, I had said that I was picking up, she was somewhere from the south, and I was like, New Orleans or Alabama or something, and I said Louisiana or Alabama, and you said like New Orleans. I said, yeah, something like that. It was Mississippi.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, it's like, I get that where I'm like, the South, but where? Like, give me more specific. And then I try and guess it, you know? But he said, I do feel that you were very spot on with my grandma, except she's from Mississippi, but everything else was great. I'm a little confused about what you meant about my relative saying I have backing. I'm thinking like a great support system from my family? ? Thank you for the reading. I definitely appreciate everything. I also understand what you mean about not closing the door to the spirit world. I definitely was feeling like that this past week. So I had mentioned to him that he had a lot of relatives behind him, or a lot of spirits on his back, or with him on the other side. Yeah. And really, I mean, what I mean by that is exactly that. You mm-hmm. have a lot of people that are helping you, they're guiding you, they're watching you, they're giving mm-hmm. you signs to let you know that they're around and which way to go in life for all of us, mm-hmm. you know, but they made that like a point, yeah. I remember. And
I think, Charlie, honestly, the reason we do this podcast, one of the reasons we do this podcast is to try to enlighten or help enlighten people to the fact that your loved ones, your soul family, some you've never met, some mm-hmm. you may know very well,
yeah.
but anybody that's crossed over to the other side is there right there.
Yes.
Helping you.
Absolutely.
That's what we kind of, if anything, we want to bring to the forefront is that, yes, angels are real.
Yes.
And they're very much working for the greater good of everything.
Absolutely.
Mankind, the universe, Mother Nature, you know, animals, whatever.
Yep.
They are indeed doing the best they can.
Absolutely.
To help. So that's exactly what I got from what you said was he has a huge support system on the other side.
Yep.
And you probably haven't. I hope you have a good support system here alive, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
But don't feel like if anybody that's listening that you have lost a lot of loved ones.
Yeah.
On this side, and you feel like you don't have a lot of support or loved ones left. Don't feel like you don't have support.
Yes.
That you don't have people working for you, because you do.
You do. Absolutely. They may be the people that you actually least think are least likely to be there to help you.
I would say angels work harder for you than humans do.
Yeah, absolutely they do. Yeah. Yep, absolutely. So, okay, so that was Charlie. And then let's just do one more of these. This is for Chanel. We talked to her dad. She said, I really enjoyed listening to this week's episode. Everything you said in my reading was perfectly accurate and also gave me some information I didn't already know. You really are a great psychic medium. I always want to say I love you with a laughing face and heart. When you said my dad communicates through electrical work and always nature, it made me smile because the light in my living room flickers at me when I work on candles, and birds are always flying directly in front of my car when I'm driving. Thank you so much for doing a reading. I'm going to definitely get a full reading from you soon.
Nice.
Yeah, thank you, Chanel.
Thank you, Chanel.
Yes. They definitely have their ways of getting through to us, and we're going to talk about that today, but
yeah.
they, you know, will find lots of different ways, so I'm glad he pointed those out to you. So
nice.
So those are the three feedbacks I'm going to do, because we got a lot to talk about today.
Okay.
And then we are answering two questions a week now from our listeners, so let's answer those.
Okay.
The first one is also from Chanel. She says, how do you feel about the COVID vaccine, and did you get one? If not, are you planning to get one? I have had my first one, and Danny and Marina have both had both of their shots. Mm-hmm. They're fully vaccinated. We all got Pfizer. We just decided from what we had heard that was the best one for us to go with. For me, it was never a question in my mind of whether I was going to get it or not. I feel like it's kind of our duty right now. I don't worry about all of these things that people are worried about. Like, you know, there being a microchip in it. Please, we carry around a phone. They don't need to put a microchip in a vaccine. You know,
yeah, we all have an ID and a driver's license. It's all in there too. So
yeah, I'm not afraid of catching COVID. I know that that's not how I'm going to go out. You know what I mean? Like, I just, there's things about my life that I know, and I just know that that's not how it's meant to go for me. But for traveling, for other people, just for safety, for my family, I felt like it was definitely important to do. So.
Yep. I will say, to answer her question, you know, I had the pleasure of being able to to sit with you while you channeled your mom at the beginning of this, because I did have some concerns. I think at first I took it lightly, like, this is another flu.
Yeah, me too.
Then you could see, after seeing, you know, reports and television and things, okay, this is just not another flu.
Yeah.
Okay? The flu does kill a lot of people every year. But it's not like this.
No.
So I had a bit of concern. I also had a bit of concern about a vaccination and whether that was good. And that was honestly one of the first things that I asked her in that session was, is this going to be all right? Because, you know, not only for myself, but our kid. And she was like, it's all right. It's going to be fine. It will work. And yes.
Yeah.
Be smart.
Yeah, be smart.
We can all go down that rabbit hole of conspiracy theories of what, you know, what we think or we've been told or heard that they're trying to do. And I'm not going to say that some of it might not hold some weight, but I don't believe in this situation. I think we would be foolish not to, you know.
Yeah. I think a lot of people are worried, too, about the side effects of it. And, like, you and Marina, you were just a little bit tired.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't really a big deal. I get my second one on Wednesday, so I'll give an update. But for me, I was worried about getting it because I'm super-duper sensitive. And, like, the last flu shot that I had a reaction. Mm-hmm. So I was like, should I have it done in a doctor's office? What should I do? And I kind of stressed on it. But I didn't react to the first one except a sore arm. So the second one, hoping it'll go just as smoothly. But yeah, I really, I think, you know, we do what we have to do sometimes. Yeah. And it's not always our government being like, let's keep tabs on them and do bad things to them. You know, they are trying to help us and trying to help the community. And
I think in this situation, yes.
Yeah. So that was question number one. So thank you, Chanel, for that.
Thank you, Chanel.
And then the second one is a very lighthearted, cute question from Bob. He says, have any of your dogs gone swimming yet? We just moved into a house with a pool about a month ago. And so far, no, neither dog has gone in the pool. Sabbath has, our black lab, has acted like he wants to. And he'll, like, take his foot and act like he's going to put it in. And then he pulls it back out. We're just going to let them do what they're going to do.
Yeah.
The Great Dane doesn't stay outside when we're in the pool. So
he doesn't like it too much.
No. So probably a good chance that he's never going to. But, you know, we have a black lab that you could tell is looking at it like, wait, I'm supposed to go in there. I'm a water dog.
Him, I'm not worried about. But I don't want to try to save a 160-pound dog from drowning, because that's a heavy animal.
Yeah. So we're just trying to, you know, tell him just stay away from it.
Yeah.
So, and that's what he does.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So thanks for the question, Bob. That was cute.
That's funny.
Yeah. So, and then the last thing I have for you is that we're going to do a special episode probably next week, I'm thinking. This is Pride Month, and we had a listener who I did a reading for who was a little bit confused. I was talking, doing a reading about her son, and I felt like he was kind of battling sexuality. And she was like, so is he bisexual? Is he what? And I'm like, I feel like maybe he's pansexual. And she was kind of confused with that. She said, you guys should do an episode on this. Like, there's so much going on with this right now. Explain it, break it down, you know. And so I thought, it's Pride Month, so let's do that.
That's a good idea.
Let's talk about it. So I think we'll do that next week.
All right.
How's that?
Sounds good.
Okay. All right. So that's what I have for you from last week.
Okay. Well, let's hop into episode 111.
111.
Communicating with the universe through music.
So when I started working on this episode, I didn't really know where we were going with this. Like, you can't just go online and do research about this kind of thing. It's like the type of thing you need to have, like, personal experience with.
Mm.
And we both have a lot of personal experience with this. So what I felt like from my mom and from my other guides was that they want us to try and help people to understand how the other side communicates with music, not just like, oh, I hear that song all the time.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, that song reminds me of my mom, my dad, whoever it reminds you of. They want us to get deeper into this and explain how sometimes they are using these to get specific messages through. Sometimes you'll be drawn to just lyrics instead of just the whole song. So they really wanted us to talk about this, mm-hmm. and kind of help our listeners try and, you know, understand this more.
Great.
So the first thing I did in our discussion group was I asked our listeners, do you feel like the universe is trying to communicate with you through music? And 60% said sometimes, and 38% said all the time, and 2% said I'm not sure. So that's good that, you know, most people are seeing that this is something that the universe is trying to do to communicate with you. For me, this started, I've always been, like, into music, and you're a musician, so this is always something that, you know, has been a big topic in your life. But I'm more drawn to lyrics, where, like, you're more drawn to, like, the music side of it. But, like, my whole life, I've always been drawn to, like, the lyrics and what they might pertain to in my life.
Right.
But when my mom died, it really intensified.
Right.
Like, I started hearing these songs that just, it felt like they were written for exactly what I was going through at that moment.
Mm-hmm.
Hoobastank the Reason was one of them. And it came out like really either shortly after she died or like right before. It was right around there. And I was hearing it all the time. And then Evanescence, My Immortal, was another one. And that's a very, like, solemn, deep, you know, song. Mm-hmm. And I didn't understand, you know, how is it that these songs, that they relate so much to my situation, you know? But that's what music is supposed to do. Mm-hmm. Those songs aren't written, like, Hoobastank didn't write that song for me and my mom. It didn't work like that. But the universe, the spirits, they can take those songs and play them for us at the appropriate time to relate them to our life. Mm-hmm. And it goes beyond just what's current music. Mm-hmm. You go back to every song ever written, and they can use it to communicate with you.
You know, and I kind of just even look at the fact of why music exists in our reality. Well, I've come to understand why now, why part of it exists. And that is based on my understanding of the other side and my belief in that.
Right.
That's been the added other half of that's come into my life about why this actually exists. Because I'm pretty sure that music has had some sort of, some sort of prayer element to it.
Divinity throughout
time.
Yeah.
The reason that we wrote music was to get a greater connection to our belief in God or whatever it is that's out there. And I'm talking about through centuries. In today's world, you know, music is everywhere. But I still look at it as that we're each a soul. And we have this, for those of us that can either write lyrics or words or write music, there's this need to say something.
Yeah.
To connect. Not just to connect with other people. That's a big part of it.
Yeah.
There's a need for us to get it out.
Yes.
Because it's inside. It has to come out.
Yep.
But I understand more now why it even is here, because this guy might write this song this year, but 50 years from now, somebody's going to connect to it, whether it's a tomorrow or 50 years from now. Somebody's going to connect to this, whether it's musically, lyrically. And then at some point, that adds another song in the jukebox, so to speak,
right,
for the angels to use to help get their message to us.
Right.
They need us to write these songs and to get this out of us, because this is how they will communicate with us.
Yes.
So it's almost essential that this thing needed to be in this world.
It really did. Yeah. Without music, I don't know how I would communicate a lot of the things that are communicated to me. Not so much now, I guess, because, you know, I can talk to them more. But, like, between the time when my mom died and when I learned that I was a medium, music was, besides numbers, the biggest thing that I used. And I would hear these songs and kind of know what they were trying to tell me with these songs, but being like, no, that can't possibly be it. That can't possibly be for me. Like, why am I hearing this song all the time, you know? And so one of the questions that our listeners asked was, how do I know if a song is for me? And first of all...
That's a great question.
Yes, it is. You can have as many songs as you want. Mm-hmm. So don't think that it's narrowed down to one or two or three or four. I have songs now. I have lists of songs that are mom songs, dad songs, grandparents songs. That's things that mean different things. I actually wrote some of them down this morning. Warning songs, like things that my mom's saying, okay, maybe you need to look out for this.
Right.
Encouragement songs and miscellaneous things. For example, one of my mom's favorite songs was Belle Biv DeVoe, Poison. And so that's a song that she plays for me just, you know, it's a good mood song. It's just saying hello.
Right.
It's me. It doesn't necessarily mean anything. But there, one of those kind of miscellaneous songs was Funky Town. And I had talked about this a little bit, that before I moved to Vegas in 95, this was even before my mom died, I was hearing Funky Town all the time. And so I kept thinking, like, this is cool. I'm moving to Vegas. I'm hearing this song all the time, you know. And then when we started talking about moving to the house that we just moved into, I started hearing it all the time. And the day that we came to see the house, when I started the car, Funky Town was on the radio. And so, of course, you know, and this is a good point for everybody here, is that I immediately knew intuitively that this meant this is our house and relax. But that doesn't mean that I was like, okay, I'm going to relax.
No.
And it's our house. No.
Not that easy.
No. And I hope one day it is. I hope that one day I'll just be like, okay, I get it. There's no other reason possibly why that song was playing when we got in the car. We left 10 minutes earlier that day than we had planned to. We were all just sitting there. I was like, well, we might as well just go.
Probably we were just a little excited.
Yeah. And turn the car on and it's just starting, just playing. That happens to me a lot with Every Breath You Take. There's a part in the song that I quoted in my mom's eulogy. And sometimes I will get in the car right before that part starts. It's very rare that I'll pick up that song like towards the end of it. It's usually either from the beginning or right before that part starts.
That's cool.
That is the number one song that she uses to communicate with me. If I don't hear that song while I'm out, like at least by myself, it's very, very rare.
Right.
So these things, if you're hearing songs all the time, don't just throw them away to be like, you know, oh, they always play this song on the radio. Because I used to do that too. Oh, they always play this song. Well, recently I've been hearing Duran Duran Rio all the time. And here's another good example of how to know a song is for you. I don't have any connection to this song at all. Don't really care for the song. I'm still trying to figure out what this means because all of a sudden I'm hearing it every time I'm in the car at least twice. And I mean, sometimes I'm in the car for 15 minutes and I'll hear it twice, you know? So I'm still trying to analyze what this one means. The only thing I've been able to think of so far is it's like my mom will assign songs to people. So I know she's talking about people and she has a best friend that lives part of the year in Rio and in Brazil.
Right.
And so I was thinking maybe it was associated with him. But I know that it's a song because it's being shoved down my throat for the first time ever. And you've seen it. Mm-hmm. Like, we're in the car and I'm like, damn it.
Yeah.
Here it comes
again.
Can't
get away from this song.
I can't. You can run, but you can't hide. So I still don't know. But you'll get that feeling of like, I hear this song all the time. Why do I hear this song all the time? Even if it doesn't like make sense to you of why you're hearing this song, there might be something in it, like a lyric, like even just one line that is supposed to be meant for you. And even if that one line stands out to you, then take that song as being for you.
Yeah.
And also don't discount songs because not every word fits you, because not every word is going to fit you.
That's part of the challenge.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's like, it's sort of interesting. And I'll go back to this. I've used it before. It's like opening up the back of the paper and seeing the horoscopes.
Mm.
And a lot of people go, well, yeah, you could apply, millions of people could apply that to their life. Well, yeah, because there's billions of people on this planet that could be potentially going through similar situations.
Right.
Totally different, but similar in ways.
Yes.
And this is a way to get your attention.
Yes.
However, you know, with these songs, like you said, it's like, well, that doesn't apply.
Yeah.
Well, why was, you know, and the more I listen, this part of my life has taught me as a musician to listen more lyrically, because I was kind of guilty of listening just to the music a lot. I want to see what the music did to me first.
Right.
If the music draws me in, then I'm going to want to hear what they're saying.
Right. I'm the opposite.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
This now has caused me to do a couple things, to kind of strive to hear the lyric first, if not right at the same time. But it's also made me start writing lyrics.
Yes.
To songs, which in the past, I was just a guitar player. I didn't.
Yeah.
And now in Gypsy Brown, Tom and I work together.
Yeah.
And often he'll throw melodies and I'll write lyrics.
Yep.
You know, or he'll write lyrics. Yep. But, and I might have a melody. But this is kind of the first group where I've been able to exercise that. And looking back and going, wow, I like wrote a story about something to someone someday might affect them.
Yes.
For me, it's my own personal thing. Something I've had happen or gone through.
Right.
But it's interesting.
Yep. Yep.
And I agree with that, that because we were talking about this earlier and I said, you know, certain songs. And you talked about how your parents might start giving you songs. Like, say you have a deceased parent, they might start giving you songs that were more of their generation.
Yeah.
And of their interest. But there's still a message in there.
Yes.
This is part of the challenge about getting enlightened and awakened, is that you have to do the work into figuring it out. Just like you as a medium, when they're sharing with you information about things, you have to take images and make a storyboard about it, essentially. That's kind of the same thing that's going on in the song, is it's lyrical. There was a song that you used to tell me, or your mom shared with me, that Hotel California was another one that you just can't get away from for 30, 40 years. We'll all admit that. It's been on the radio a lot.
Yeah, it has.
But we can, when Samantha says, I can't get away from the song, or I say that, it's like we'll switch a channel to get away from it.
Yeah.
Only to end up right...
hearing it on the next station.
On the next station.
Yep.
So, like, that song is about my journey with you.
Yes.
And when you first said that, or your mom said, there's something about this song, you need to figure it out. And I'm like, what?
Well, you were relating it to everybody in our area.
Everybody thinks it's about Camarillo State Hospital.
Yeah.
Which was an insane asylum. Yeah, it's not.
It's not.
It's about a cocaine binge.
Yeah.
Which, coming from Glenn Frey, I'm not surprised at all.
Yeah, but we always thought that, so then we relate it to that. But that's what they don't want us to do, is to take a song and try and make it what the artist was trying to make it for themselves, because
you
that's...
have to make it for you.
Exactly.
The same idea about pulling out the horoscope and seeing this sort of what might appear as a general statement. You have to apply it to you.
Right.
What is this telling me?
Yep.
I'm not saying open up the paper every day and use that as a Bible to guide your life, but there's nothing against entertainment and flattering, you know, it a little bit and read it and see what's up. But the same idea with, I should listen more to this song and actually listen to what the words are saying. So sometimes now I'll go, the song keeps going on. What? Why? I'll bring up the lyrics in case there's something I'm missing. Or
exactly.
Sometimes when you're reading it in a text form without music, it's you have a different understanding. Even when you do it with music, sometimes I'll just read them without anything playing so I can focus solely on the words.
Yep, exactly. Yeah, and a lot of times, like, you don't really even know maybe what the words actually are, because, like, you hear them and you think they say one thing. So, yeah, always going and reading them, it makes way more sense. Like, once we did that with Hotel California and a few other songs, Freedom 90 was another one, George Michael Freedom 90, that my mom threw at us a lot at the beginning.
Yeah.
More so for you. But we dissected that one to try and figure out what exactly are they trying to say in this song. And not every line is going to make sense, but the gist of it for a lot of times will, in that if that's the way that they're using it, you know, if they're trying to tell a story,
right.
You would talk too about like your parents using music that, you know, they liked. Mm-hmm. Well, my dad, I had no clue what type of music my dad liked at all. So it was probably like a few months into the spiritual journey where I heard my dad say, today we're going to start establishing dad songs because you need to have some dad songs.
Mm-hmm.
The first one, seriously, like the next song that came on the radio was Everclear, Father of Mine.
Mm-hmm.
And there's things in there that they don't ring true. I'm not a boy. I didn't grow up in a bad neighborhood with, you know, that those things aren't me.
Right.
But listening to most of the lyrics in that song, it absolutely fits the relationship that we had. And I thought, well, that's kind of a negative song to start with, but it makes sense. He does not use that for me a lot.
Right.
One of the ones that surprised me the most was Africa by Toto, because I hated that song. I always thought, this is the stupidest song. And then I started hearing it all the time, and it was another one of those that was being shoved down my throat. And so I was like, what's this about? Your dad loved this song?
Yeah.
It's a dad song.
I think Father of Mine, I feel like I just felt this because he was now opening the door to a relationship with you from the other side, which he didn't have much of one with you here.
Right.
That was his apology.
Yeah.
Kind of.
I think it was his acknowledgement.
It was, yeah. I don't know if it's apology, but it was his acknowledgement of saying, I wasn't the greatest father.
Exactly. Yep.
And I know that you felt that way, and I'm sorry.
Yep. And then one of the next ones that he picked, and I messaged you, I said, it's not going to make sense to you, but listen to it. Well, you watched the video, so it really didn't make sense to you, was Hey Leonardo. And it's like talking about how she doesn't care about, you know, all the things I have, my big screen, my, right. you know, all these things.
Right.
And that was my dad's way of saying that it's unconditional, that, you know, on both sides, like, I don't care what he has. It's not that kind of relationship. We're just, you know, and it made sense to me. That was more of the, like, moving on song, kind of. I rarely ever hear that. Most of the time I hear Africa, and I hear a lot of Billy Joel tell her about it, Uptown Girl. Right. But these are all, like, things that I didn't know that he liked. And, you know, some of it I would have listened to, but not have considered to be, like, songs that I related to, but I learned. And so whenever I thought that, like, okay, this song is maybe a dad song, then we just said it. You know, like, Everclear has other songs. Santa Monica is one of them because he lived and worked in Santa Monica. So that's we stayed with Everclear. So Everclear song, same with Billy Joel. So you kind of can set these things, too. So there's no right or wrong answer to, is this song for me? If you want it to be for you, set it. Set it to be for you. Say, okay, this is a dad song, or this is a song that you're telling me, you know, something's coming, or or, you know, you're telling me good job. You can set it for whatever you want, whatever you want. I had also mentioned just pulling out little lyrics. Now, here's an interesting one. I am a huge Britney Spears fan, which some people may think is sad, but I am, and I'm not not ashamed to deny it.
No comment.
Yeah. I know. There's a song called I'm a Slave for You. Now, this is I would never have considered this to be a song in my list of, you know, spirit songs. But in the middle of the song, several times she says, kitty, 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 kitty. And she goes on and on. Well, one day my grandma pointed out, hello, she's saying my name right here in this song, right here. And so now I know when I hear it, that's what stands out to me in that song now. It never did before. But when I hear it, it's almost like the volume goes up.
Right.
Like it's grandma saying hello. Because establishing songs with my grandparents was honestly harder because of the generational gap. Like one of them is My Way by Frank Sinatra, that my grandma loved that song. But how often am I really going to hear that song? You know, they don't play it on any of the stations I listen to. So I would have to hear it, you know, on the TV or whatever. So we had to establish some songs that were more in our time together.
Right.
So that's where saying, okay, I recognize this. You're trying to make this our song makes any song, you know, a song from the other side. If you said it, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Let's see. So Charlie, I believe, asked this question. Are there certain songs that you hear repeatedly or... Oh, no, I'm sorry. I asked that. We'll come back to Charlie's question. Are there certain songs that you hear regularly or multiple times a day? And 80% said yes. So a lot of people are recognizing these types of things, that they're hearing these repeatedly. So don't discount them. My friend Donna, one of the ones that she said was Journey, Don't Stop Believing. And that's one of ours too. Right. Definitely one of mine.
It's like, we're very aware that radio stations have, you know, playlists, right? They play the same certain songs for a week or 2 weeks, and then they switch it up, play another 10 songs, 15 songs every hour. That's how that works. But this isn't what we're talking about, because, like I mentioned, we'll switch a channel to go, can we hear something different? And then that's that song on that channel.
Yep.
So that's where those little, what I would have in the past called coincidences, I got to throw that idea out of my head.
Yep.
And go, there's a reason.
Yes.
There's a reason. And it might be one of those little small microscopic seconds in the day that didn't require much attention mentally. But if I caught it, then I caught it.
Yes.
Because there's a reason.
That's exactly right. Exactly. And I always to think, like, how do they do this? Because the radio stations don't make their playlists based on me, you know? What it is it's timing. So they have a lot of control. Like I said, when we came to look at this house and we left 10 minutes early, it was because that song was on the radio. It's like a little tap on the shoulder, like, well, you might as well just leave. That's their way of lining it up so that you hear these things. So I've recognized, like, even in, like, traffic or whatever, where things are slowing down or speeding up, I just go with it because I realize that they're timing things the way that they're supposed to be timed, you know? So it's not that the radio station's, you know, like, oh, I should play that song.
No, because they don't know whether they're catering to me.
Yeah, exactly. No. That's exactly right. And Hoobastank certainly didn't write the reason for me, even though no. it sounds like it. But yeah. it's just the timing that they're able to make this timing happen. Mm. I was getting a pedicure like a couple months ago, and they were playing instrumental music, and I was sitting there not even paying attention, and all of a sudden Celine Dion, what's the name of that song, Because You Loved Me, that's a song I danced with my grandfather to, that when I married my ex-husband, and it came on an instrumental, and it was the first song that actually grabbed me, and I was like, oh my gosh, that's so funny. You know, it's one of those songs I appreciate in instrumental because it makes me cry, it's very emotional. Yeah. So it they'll do those types of things too, you know. Right. Okay, so here's Charlie's question. When we play old songs randomly, could it be our past loved ones wanting to listen to that song while they're around us? Yes.
Yes.
That's a great... Yes. Yes.
That's part of it, yes.
We have one recently. We've been listening to Apple Music a lot, just in the house, putting it on the TV, and then we just, you know, listen to it. And a lot of times I put on, like, the Pink Floyd station, or, you know, Pink Floyd and similar. So the other day, Desperado came on, and I all of a sudden hear my mom go, I love this song, and she starts singing it, right?
There's no talking during Desperado.
There's no talk, yeah. So yesterday, we went out to dinner, and when we came home, walked through the door, that's the song that was on, because we leave it on for the dogs. Mm-hmm. That was the song that was on, and she loves Seinfeld, and there's an episode in Seinfeld where Elaine's dating this guy, and he loves Desperado, and exactly, there's no talking during Desperado. Shh. No. So that's what I hear. There's no talking during Desperado. So it's like a double hitter. She loved the song, and she loves Seinfeld. So... Yes, there's actually times on the radio too where I'll hear a song and I'll be like, eh, and I'll hear my mom go, I love it, leave it.
Yes.
And it's like, but you can hear whatever you want to. Nope, just leave it.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll leave it for you.
I'm not exactly sure how this works in a physical sense, but they definitely live through us.
Oh,
yeah. They re-experience the feelings of music and excitement and things that are thrilling and, you know, whatever.
Yes.
They live that through us. And I don't know if that means they can physically come into us.
Right.
And merge kind of with us for a moment. But that's why, other than to share and guide us, they are getting some pleasure out of this.
Absolutely.
And they do it for the pleasure as well.
Yes.
They do it really to help. But they're getting a reward out of it, and that is they no longer have a body that can feel the subwoofer. They no longer have the eyes that can tear up when a song strikes a chord with them.
Right.
But they can live it, relive it through us.
Absolutely. Yep.
So it's everybody wins.
Yep. Absolutely. Have you ever, well, I know you have, but to our listeners, if you've ever had the goosebumps where you're hearing a song, mm-hmm. when you're really super connected to the other side and to a song, you don't just get the goosebumps. You get the entire body chills. And really, like, shortly on in my spiritual journey, it started happening where it was, like, overwhelming. Like, my whole body felt like it was tingling, and it was – it still can do that, but I don't, like – I don't know. At first, it was just, whoa, what is happening to me? And then, like, sometimes the tears will come on. That's when you really know that the song has, like, touched you and yeah. and you're connected. And you can really do that with any song, actually. If you, like, sing and get deep enough into it, you can connect to any song like that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Because no matter what kind of music it is, it's divine, and it's a connection to the other side. We may not understand all types of music, and we may think some of it is, you know, bad, but it's not, because it's all art,
right.
and it's all people expressing themselves. Mm-hmm. And the other side, they don't look at the words that we use or the things that we say. They're looking at the art of it. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? Like rap is one thing. Well, mm-hmm. wouldn't rap be considered bad? Or, like, what about, like, you know, hard rock, like the screaming stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Well, everybody has their own taste. So what would it yeah. be for the other side, for God, for the universe to say, well, no, you know, that's yeah. not divine. No, it is. It yeah. all is. Yeah. All of it. Yeah.
We still have our free will, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
To make it and evolve it and create it. into something unique. And that's why we have so many different kinds of music. And today, still, there still seems to be new types of music that come out.
Absolutely.
That blows my mind, because I thought, well, it seems like we could only really create so much.
Yeah.
And then that would be like the pinnacle, and you can't go any further. But no, as long as there's a mind
right
behind it, it's possible to make something different.
Right.
You know?
A lot of times when songwriters are writing, the other side is actually writing through them.
Oh, yeah.
In Bohemian Rhapsody, the movie, they show Freddie writing Bohemian Rhapsody. And I don't know if they meant to do this or if I was just picking up on it, but it really felt like it was coming through him, and he knew that. Like, he was listening, like, intently listening. Oh, there it is. Write it down. Right. And you've told me lots of instances of articles that you've read about musicians that, you know, have all of a sudden had this just come to them, and they have to write it. Yeah. It's because it's coming from somewhere. It's coming from the other side, and you need to write it down.
Yeah. you know? I mean, Eddie Van Halen was a great example, and I've seen him say it on multiple occasions in interviews, that he was just a channel.
Yeah.
This guy never learned how to read or write sheet music, yet he ends up being one of the most profound and influential guitar players of not just several decades, but of all time.
Right.
And his answer was always, I'm just a channel. Yep. Where do ideas come from? Not me.
That's right. That's right.
I'm given them, and I'm supposed to make it come through me. And that's kind of what I tried to, I'm not anything like Eddie Van Halen by any means, but in my musical path was like, give me something.
Right.
Whatever it is, give it to me. And I get it in flurries, in like batches.
Yep, exactly.
And then lyrically too. It's like, give me something. Well, a lot of time lyrically, I can draw from life experience.
Right.
So, and that's where, you know, a lot of great songs come from pain and suffering. And somehow, somebody that has no idea who you are or what you're talking about can connect to that.
Yeah.
That's freaking incredible.
Yep.
So there is a reason that music's here. It's for us to be able to speak our minds and our hearts with, A, not ever having to speak.
Right.
If you didn't want to. I've always said this about standing in a room full of musicians and playing music is like, even before one word is sung, the instruments themselves are now speaking together in a way that is just like, I'm getting the chills right now, but it's communicating without words. Yep. Then the words is kind of just like the icing on the cake if you choose to add them.
Right.
You know, but there's a reason. And we pull from our experience. I think the music for me comes more from the divine.
Yes.
The lyric comes from experience and pain and happiness and, you know,
for sure,
suffering, whatever it is.
Yep.
It comes from emotion.
It absolutely does. And that's what it's supposed to do. It's supposed to evoke emotion in the writer, but also in the people that are listening to the music, you know. One of the things that writers suffer, I'm working on writing a book, but there hasn't been a whole lot of work going on. But one of the reasons why there isn't a lot of work going on is I get writer's block a lot. But I've realized that when I get that writer's block, it's because I'm not as connected as I need to be, because literally my whole book's going to be written with me just sitting there being the one that's doing the typing. I know it's just going to come through me like everything else, you know? And that's the way a lot of times that it works with music writers, is that if there's a block, that it's because they're just not focused. They're not connected, and they need to slow down and meditate and get focused again. We just look at it as like, I can't do this because I can't focus. Well, no, you can't focus because you're not connected. So, you know, right. Need to work on getting more connected. So,
right.
Yeah. So let's see what else I have. So something else I wanted to talk about is how they use numbers as well as music. When I first started recognizing these things, I had really one number, and that was 13. And then I, you know, my mom slowly started throwing songs at me and more numbers at me. Okay, so I've been doing this now with my mom for 17 years. Mm-hmm. And the last three as a medium has made it even more intense. So now I am faced with all day long with numbers and songs and other signs. It's all day because I recognize it.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to give an example of if you start recognizing these things, exactly how intense they can get. Last year on my mom's death day, which is April 13th, I went for a drive and I did a tour of my childhood, basically. I went to the houses I grew up at. I went to the cemetery. I just did things that I needed to do to feel connected to my mom.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was sitting outside of my grandparents' house and Every Breath You Take came on. Okay. I will note that that was the second time it came on that wow. day. It also came on a third time when I was on my way home. It came on at times that correlate with my numbers. 1026, 26 is one of my numbers.
Mm.
1130, 11 and 13 are my numbers. Mm-hmm. Another song that came on that day while I was driving, I took pictures of all these screenshots so that I had it for things like this. You Only Get What You Give is a mom song. Mm-hmm. And that was on 93.1 that has a 13 in it. And it was 62 degrees outside. And that's one of my numbers, a 26 mm-hmm. backwards. So you can take, you see how... Just because, like, it was 62 degrees right. doesn't mean it's not for me because it's backwards.
Right.
Now, a long time ago, I wouldn't have looked at it that way. But now that I know how to decipher these things, I will take them backwards, forwards, like that.
Right.
Another Brick in the Wall came on right after that mom's song, 1052. 52 is my mom's birth year. Hold On, Wilson Phillips came on at 11:11 on 101.1. These all happened to me in a two-hour time span. There were more, but these are the ones that I took screenshots on. I just remember that whole morning being like, it's just constant. It's just one mom song after the other. So once you start to really recognize that and show them that you're recognizing it, they start to throw more and more of these numbers along with the music in, you know, the sequences.
Mm-hmm.
They will use these songs at certain times to give you messages. There's this song on TikTok that I had never heard on the radio, and it's called Vacation by Dirty Minds. And it says, Hey, I'm on vacation every single day cause I love my occupation. And then it says, Hey, if you don't like your life, then you should go and change it or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
This was the first time I heard it on the radio. It came on at 11:33. So you got 2 13s there. And I think it was the last time that I was driving to our old house, but it correlated with what was going on. It was right. like an intense day and this song came on.
Mm-hmm.
These types of things are them showing you like, look at what's going on. Look at what's being provided for you. And the more that you listen, the more that you recognize, the more it's going to happen. So,
yeah. Pretty incredible.
It is. I've seen a couple of crazy things over the last couple of weeks, not really related to music, but one of them the other day was I saw a license plate that said 143, which for me means I love you.
Mm-hmm.
And then it said mom. And it was in California, you can replace letters with like a heart or whatever. So it said M heart M. So for mom. So it was 143 mom with a heart. And then, it was a couple of weeks ago, I think I told you this one. I was driving. It was the last day when we were moving the last bit of stuff from the studio to the new house.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going to take the freeway. And I thought, you know what? I'm not. I'm going to take a side street. And I get behind a car that has, it says RS Hearts TL. Well, my maiden name is Rozier. So SR would be backwards RS. And her name was Linda Turner.
Mm-hmm.
So it's her initials backwards. So you may say that these things are coincidences. I know better.
Right.
And most of the time when I look at the clock or I look at my speedometer, my odometer, those things too, the temperature, those things will, yes.
To have the numbers.
Exactly. Or it'll be like 111, 222, you know, even like if you have, you know, it's 65 degrees outside and you have 650,000 miles, or not 650, but 65,000 miles. You know what I mean? Like all of those things, they are coordinating for a reason. You're seeing those things for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
Would they happen even if you didn't notice it? Yes, they would. But when you see them, you're recognizing that little tap on your shoulder saying, look at this or right. listen to this. And the more and more and more that you do that, the more and more and more that they will show you and the deeper it will get.
Right.
And it,
but you have to acknowledge it.
You have to acknowledge it.
If you're just looking at it as coincidence or I've heard this song a million times and you're not bothering to look any deeper, then that's as deep as it's going to go.
Yep, that's exactly right. If you think that it's a sign, it is a sign. If you think it's a coincidence, it's a sign. So change the word coincidence. My grandparents owned a chain of nurseries called Green Thumb. And in our old neighborhood, I would always see the Green Thumb truck. But only like the last year that we lived there. And it was constant. And then all of a sudden, I stopped seeing it. And then we moved here. And I hadn't seen it in forever. And then guess what? It appears in this neighborhood.
Yeah.
I was like, whoa, Green Thumb truck's following me. You know, it's like just, yeah, total trip. Mm-hmm. Not a coincidence.
Nope.
No. So recognize those, you know, tell the universe, wow, thanks for that sign. I recognize it. Yeah. And they will continue to throw more and more and more at you.
Yeah.
Yep. I can totally see why they wanted us to kind of do this episode and, you know, point out all of these things and help people. Because I know for myself, even at first, I was like, this song, it matches like what's going on in my life, except this one line, mm-hmm. or, you know, this doesn't fully make sense. It doesn't have to. Right. That's the beauty.
Yeah. Like for me, Hotel California, I really had to listen close.
Yeah.
There were some lines in it there, you know, when I first started dating you, you had a Mercedes Benz.
Yeah.
And that's in the song.
Pretty much that whole first part. Yeah.
The whole first part. It's a lot of, to me, what I get from it is trust.
Yes.
It's okay. You're going down this path, or they call it a hallway, but it's trust. That's not what the writer probably intended, and that's okay.
Yep.
For themselves, that's not what they intended.
Yep.
I don't think any songwriter wants to make you believe that something's about something it's not.
Right.
Exactly. Whether they may keep it personal, never share what it means.
Yep.
And then they may or may not.
Yep.
But that doesn't mean it can't apply to us.
No, and it's funny. Is it Carly Simon that sings You're So Vain? Who does that song? I think she auctioned off, like, telling somebody who that song was about or whatever or something like that. But, like, all of these artists thought that it was about them, like Mick Jagger and all of them. But that's exactly how it works. If you think that it's about you, if you think that it's for you, take it.
Yeah.
You know? Like, if Mick Jagger thinks that You're So Vain is about him, then maybe you are so vain, Mick Jagger. Do you know what I mean? Like, if you take it, take it. It's true.
Mick Jagger. He's like, well, wait a minute. Star me up!
Yeah. That's one guy I never really understood. Wow, these women were like,
hey, take it easy.
I'm not talking about their music. I'm a
Stones fan here.
I'm not talking about their music. I love their music. I'm just talking about Mick Jagger in general, that it's just like, what? You know, but everybody's got their thing, right?
Yeah, he's got a great life.
No doubt for that. Well,
that's on the outside. I don't know.
Well, that's true. You never know. But anyways...
Yeah.
So there's our episode
that was cool.
Music. Yeah. And we do have something very exciting coming up at the end of this episode.
Yeah, we do. We're going to share a song.
Yay! Gypsy Brown song.
We're going to share a Gypsy Brown
song.
This is one of the first ones that's been completed. It's just mixed, but it's not mastered, but I think it still sounds great.
Sounds great, yeah. It's time for it to get out there and for people to start hearing what you guys have been working on.
Yes, so the song is called Buttercup, and it will be at the very end of this episode. Once you hear the clapping at the end, you'll hear the song start, just so you know where it's at.
Yeah, yay.
But so we're excited.
Yes, we are.
And that I speak for the band, I speak for me, you... the doggies that are in here, too. So we've worked hard, and we're excited to share it. And we hope that you guys enjoy it.
That we do. And this is our first week recording it from the new house. Mm-hmm. And we just set up a bedroom, and here we are. You know?
Here we are.
And it works. And so hopefully the sound is just as good. And we have the dogs in here with us, and they're snoring. And so, you know, just like usual, sorry.
Yeah, and it's a little smaller of a room, so they're a little closer.
Yeah, but they're doing good. I actually came across this post on Facebook yesterday in one of the podcasting groups that it said, show me your podcasting setup. And I was surprised at how many people record in a closet in the middle of their kitchen. There's one that records in a brewery. And, you know, I listen to the occasional podcast, but a couple of the ones that I've heard, like, their sound hasn't been so great, you know. Mm. But, hey... wherever you need to record, what difference does it make? If you're getting it done, just do it, you know?
That's true.
Yep. So.
We're doing it.
We're doing it. So yay.
We didn't miss a beat so far.
No, we didn't. Yay.
Cool.
Yay, yes.
Well, before we say goodbye and share the song, would you like to share your page?
Yes. If you would like to learn more about me or get a reading, you can find me at SamanthaJonesPsychicMedium.com. If you'd like to reach us at the show, SpiritualJoneses@gmail.com is how to send us an email with your show ideas, your questions, all of that good stuff.
Very
and
nice.
Then you, sir.
Yes, for my art, DJonesArtCollection.com for the web, at DJonesArtCollection for Instagram and Facebook. And for the music, GypsyBrown.com for the web, at GypsyBrownMusic for Instagram, and at GypsyBrownBand for Facebook. But that's all I got.
Yay.
Cool. Well, we hope everybody got something out of this week.
That we do.
Maybe answered some questions, some uncertainty about what all this mystical, magical, musical stuff going on is.
Yep. And feel free to message us if you have questions. We love them.
Absolutely. Yep.
And we hope you enjoy Buttercup by Gypsy Brown.
We do hope that you enjoy Buttercup, and you're welcome to leave feedback on that as well. I'd love to hear what you think.
Yes.
For anybody. But we hope everybody got something out of this.
We do.
We hope you have a great week.
We do.
And until next week,
peace and love.
And your sister's like you got you.